Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
If you're hearing this, you're probably already listening to BBC's award-winning news podcasts. But did you know that you can listen to them without ads? Get current affairs podcasts like Global News, Americast and The Global Story, plus other great BBC podcasts from history to comedy to true crime, all ad-free. Simply subscribe to BBC Podcast Premium on Apple Podcasts or listen to Amazon Music with a Prime membership. Spend less time on ads and more time with BBC Podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary podcast. I'm Dan Pepper, and from the BBC World Service, this is the next Paralympians. I'm going to be meeting trailblazing athletes with an intellectual impairment. Fewer than one in four countries send athletes with an intellectual impairment to the Paralympic Games. I want to find out why. I'm going to be speaking to athletes, the people around them, as well as people that are trying to improve representation for athletes like me with an intellectual impairment. I want to find out what barriers people face and what's being done to overcome them. I represented Great Britain at the London 2012 Paralympics in an intellectual impairment class. To qualify for an intellectual impairment class, you need to have an IQ of 75 and below, struggle with life skills such as handling money or getting around, and it needs to have affected you from childhood. And it also needs to affect your ability in your particular sport. India is one of the countries that have never sent an athlete with an intellectual impairment to the Games until now. I've come to India to meet their first ever Paralympian with an intellectual impairment and to hear her story, as well as to find out why it's taken so long.
My name is Deepthi Jeevanji. Country name is India. My event is 400 metres.
Brilliant. Pleasure to meet you. How old are you now?
20 years old.
I'm meeting Deepthi at the Sports Academy, where she lives and trains in Hyderabad, a big city in the south of India. Her running talent was first spotted when she was 9, and she moved here a few years later. She doesn't speak much English, so one of her team, Suresh, translates for her.
What kind of an area did you grow up in?
And the rural area.
She says it was a village, small village.
What do your parents do for a living?
She says they are wage labourers in the farming places, plucking the cotton and putting the seeds in the ground, like that kind of work.
When did somebody first say to you that they thought you had an intellectual impairment?
She says neighbours said that word first. She also says, like, even doctors looked at her and said her head is very small.
What kind of things would your neighbours say?
And they call like monkey.
She says they were calling me like monkey, as a monkey.
Through some parts of when I was younger, people would say things to me as well. It's not very nice, is it?
Same. And then nanna kuda alage annaru.
She says people also called me the same way.
How old were you when you realised you had a talent for sprinting?
12 years old.
12 years old?
Yeah.
Similar to me with swimming, that I started swimming competitively when I was 12, so same age. I struggled at school, so it was great for me when I started swimming to find something I was really good at. How did it feel for you when you were running?
She says, when I was in school, they used to give me homework, but I took help from near neighbor neighbour girls.
So you had friends that would help you with homework? Said. Yeah. And when you found that you were good at running, how did that feel to find something that you were good at?
On the barn, I feel like.
She says, I felt good.
With getting somewhere where you can set seed, has that changed how you felt about yourself then?
Yes. And they okay, girl channel next thing.
She says, I won one, so it gave me confidence I can win one more.
How old were you when you were asked to come here to Hyderabad to train?
12 years old.
12 years old. Yeah. How did it feel about the idea of coming to the city?
And the first time I came
here, she says, when I came here, I cried a lot, but my mother requested and made me to stay here.
Why were you crying a lot?
She says, I cried because my mother was leaving me here and she was going back to home. So she was going away. That is why I cried.
We've just driven east out of Hyderabad for approximately 4 hours. Just had a little monkey scamper across the road and we've literally just passed a herd of buffalo. I'm interested to find out more about DT's childhood, so I'm on the way to meet her parents and to see where she grew up.
Suresh from DT's team comes with us to translate again.
My name is Dhanalakshmi. I'm DT's mother.
She says, I am Dhanalakshmi, Deepthi's mother.
Na pere Jeevanji Yadagiri.
He says, I am Jeevanji Yadagiri. I am Deepthi's father.
We've come to visit you in your home. I can see sat here you've got lots of lovely pictures of Deepthi. Could you tell me a bit about them?
Deepthi karudega sir. Ee photo lo
she says, Deepthi is not at home. She is away from us. So, to keep memories, whatever she won, we have taken photos and keep all the photos in the house so that we can see her every day.
What was Deepthi like as a baby and a young child?
They say, as a young child, Deepthi used to fight with other kids a lot and she was too naughty. She used to bring fights to our home.
When she was a child, did you have any idea that she had an intellectual impairment?
She says, when Deepthi was in fourth class, they found it and they also took her to the doctor. The doctor said she has very small head, but she is too young to identify anything. And at the same time, she is too active. Don't worry about it. She will get better in the future.
What signs were there that she was different to other children?
She says, Deepthi used to forget everything after some time. For example, when she went to the school, she listened to the lesson. If she comes to the home, she used to forget everything, whatever they said in the school.
When did somebody first ask you about her going to Hyderabad to train?
She says, when Deepthi was in 7th class, her PE teacher took her to Khammam, where she ran 600 meters with barefoot. She ran very fast. After she finished, Ramesh sir, who is Deepthi's coach now, ran to her and holded her hand, asked her, where are you from, in which school are you studying, and who is your PE teacher. So that's how I come to know about the first time she is going to Hyderabad.
What did you think about the idea of her going to Hyderabad to train?
She says, first, we were not ready to send her to the training. Who is her coach now? Ramesh sir used to call Deepthi's PE teacher continuously And he tried for 3 months, calling him continuously and asking. PE teacher used to come here and try to convince them. But I was unhappy because I was not ready to send her away from us. Later, one of the DSP who is working in the police department, he came to me and he asked me, when the good thing is coming to your door, why are you closing your door? He said, she was one of the best in the region. She ran very well. Don't close the door for her future. Till I took 5 more months and later we believed and we sent her to Hyderabad.
What did you feel when she got on the bus to go to Hyderabad?
She says, when I was taking her to Hyderabad, the entire family members cried. And they said, why are you sending her far from the house for the sports? Everyone cried. I went along with her to Hyderabad. When they showed me the hostel, except Deepthi, all of them were elder athletes, seniors. Then I felt very bad and I felt uncomfortable. I cried a lot. And I called Ramesh sir. I went to sir and I requested sir. Sir, she is too young. And I cried. Then Ramesh, who is her coach now, Ramesh told me, she is born in Warangal and I was also from Warangal. I have 2 daughters. I take care of her like my 3rd daughter. You don't worry. I have 3 daughters now. I will make her like a diamond in the sports and I will give you back her to your hand. He promised me by saying those words.
How did you feel when she was diagnosed with an intellectual impairment and moved to the Paralympic team?
She says, I felt very bad about it because she was good in running, in the competing with the regular athletes. When Ramesh sir, who is Deepthi's coach now, moved Deepthi to para sports, I told him, why are you changing my daughter from main sports to para sports? Sir, why is this happening with my daughter? Then Ramesh sir told me, she is not able to compete and get better every time. And we are trying to find out everything. That is why we sent her to the medical team. And we found it. Now she is good at running. This sports, even para sports, is also very good. That's how he convinced me.
It's sad for me to hear that Deepthi's parents didn't like the idea of her having an intellectual impairment at first. But I'm pleased that they now think para sport is a good thing. Back in Hyderabad, I asked Deepthi about being assessed for an intellectual impairment.
When somebody said they wanted to assess you, what did you think about that?
She says, if they want to do it, I have to accept it.
How did you feel when they said you had an intellectual impairment?
Can I speak my words?
Yeah.
Actually, in her mother tongue, in Telugu, there is a word which is kind of offensive to her. So we don't want her to feel offended. So what we did is, we just mentioned T20, the class, name to her. We did not explain like she has an intellectual impairment. We did not explain the word in Telugu because that might offend her. So that is what we felt.
After speaking to Deepthi, my producer Simon and I talk about what Suresh said.
What did you think when Suresh, who's worked with her for a few years and is translating for her, said that they're sensitive about the terms that they use to explain her disability to her?
I think that's a lot of why they've never had an athlete with an intellectual impairment, because there's clearly some ongoing issues around around sensitivity around it and about the culture.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about the role that language plays, because what he said was there isn't a word in her mother tongue that isn't insulting, basically. So if you think about different terms that people have used in English over the years, like there used to be this term mentally retarded, and that term retarded or retard became an insult, and that's not been used.
Yeah, I think that's probably a really good way to put it, and you just hope that one day there will be a way to explain it that isn't insulting. And it's obviously, you know, in 2024, and it's very upsetting that there still is that biasness around it, but hopefully DT could become an inspiration to change that as well.
I want to find out more about DT being identified as an athlete with an intellectual impairment. What did that mean for how she trains? What kind of support has she been getting? I travelled an hour's flight further south in India to Bengaluru, formerly known as Bangalore, to meet with someone who can help me answer these questions.
I'm Aaron Benjamin. So I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Cybus India. So Cybus India is the Indian member of VIRTUS, World Intellectual Impairment Sport. And we have been in this field of sports since 1998. So apart from sports, we also run a residential center and a vocational training center for persons with intellectual impairment. So this was actually started back in 1980s by my parents, Mr. Benjamin and Mrs. Elizabeth.
You're very kindly going to show us round, so
yes, yes.
Lead the way.
Sure. So I think this is 10th standard. 10th standard children, they're having their PE.
Oh, yeah.
PE class right now.
The children are all in their uniforms, looking very smart in their ties and matching trousers. And they're doing cricket by the look of it.
Yes. So we are entering the classrooms now. We also have an integrated setup. So it's not inclusive, but integrated. So students with intellectual impairment, where the subjects that they are able to study and according to the standard that they can actually study, we make them to sit in that particular standard. And they also write the exams or the tests according to what they can do. So for that particular subject, they come and sit in class. And post that, our special educators work with them for those subjects individually.
We come inside to have a sit down and a bit more of a chat. Some people listening might be wondering how an intellectual impairment affects sporting ability. Can you explain that?
In sports, there are very important decisions to be made. So you can take any sport, whether it's athletics, swimming, football, cricket. There are strategic decisions that have to be made, which has to be made in a split second as well. So when you say intellectual impairment, it actually impairs your cognitive skills. It affects your cognitive abilities. So a split second decision can change the course of a game. So it can either help you win a medal or you do not win a medal. So it would not be fair to have athletes with II and athletes without II compete on the same platform.
When did you first hear about DeepT?
I think we first heard about DeepT in 2021, in the year 2021. So when they came to us, DeepT was actually competing in mainstream sports. And it's when she wasn't progressing in the mainstream sports, they decided to maybe check why this is happening. So when they had contacted us, we asked them to do the necessary documentation that's required for eligibility. And we got the documentation, everything done, sorted out. And then she participated in the Paranationals, Athletic Paranationals, in which she performed exceptionally well. And she won gold.
Wow.
And then that's when we started interacting with her, getting to know her. She's a really wonderful person, and I'm really happy and proud of what she has achieved till now. And the first Virtus event that she participated was in Australia, the Oceania Asia Regional Games, in which she competed in 200 meters and 400 meters, and she won gold in both.
Wow, impressive. What kind of support do you offer to athletes?
So, as an organization, we facilitate the participation of our athletes with II in para events as well as Virtus events. So, and also we counsel the parents, counsel the athletes, we manage the eligibility procedure for India. And when it comes to Virtus events, we have residential training camps for our athletes with II. And when they stay with us, it's not only sports that we focus on. So we focus on the individual as a whole. So we work on their leadership skills, their personality development, their table manners, how to eat with cutleries, and also sports as well. We do not have the funding to have a year-round program where we would be able to support them.
So you support the coaches as well?
Yes, yes. So that is very important, because if there is a block in the mind of a coach, if they think, okay, the impairment is bigger or larger than the ability, then the coach is not definitely not going to be able to get through to the athlete. So we have to take the impairment out and put the ability inside. So it's when they focus on the ability that the athlete will actually grow.
Yeah, absolutely. I know through my swimming career, I felt really lucky with my swim coach that I had for 18 years. But whenever there was an assistant come in or anything like that, it always took them a while to understand how I best understood them.
Yes.
Right? So whether that's explaining the same drill but in a different way, really? Or...
So actually, that's actually a plus point for Deepti. So she's got the right coaches, and she's very lucky in that aspect. And that's why she's able to grow as an athlete and achieve as well.
Deepti's coaches say the term for an intellectual impairment in her mother tongue is offensive. So they don't use the term with Deepti. Instead, just talk to her about her classification T20. What do you think about that approach?
Intellectual impairment. So now, internationally, that is the term that is being used. But the older terms are still being used in India. It's because that's what they have been hearing. So it has to be updated as well. But yes, in the mother tongue, it could be offensive. But we do not need to keep repeating that, yes, you are with II. So this is your class. This is what you are in. So you don't have to use the term intellectual impairment either in English or in the language that they understand. So all that we require is for them to understand what we are teaching them. So that's more than enough.
It's great that India is going to have its first Paralympian with an intellectual impairment. But what's taken so long? And how are other countries doing things differently? That's coming up on the documentary from the BBC World Service.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. All episodes are available now. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Pepper. This is the next Paralympians. I represented Great Britain at the London 2012 Paralympics in the swimming class for people with an intellectual impairment. But fewer than one in four countries sent athletes with an intellectual impairment to the Paralympic Games. I'm trying to find out why. I've come to India, which is one of the countries that I've never sent an athlete with an intellectual impairment to the Games. But now that's changing. 400 metre runner Deepti Duranji will become India's first ever Paralympian with an intellectual impairment in Paris. I'm talking to Erin Benjamin, who runs India's Intellectual Impairment Sport Organisation. I want to understand the barriers that people with an intellectual impairment have faced here.
There has been some intellectual impairment events at the Paralympics since 1996. Why is it taking so long for India to send its first athlete with an intellectual impairment?
So that's something that even we are trying to figure out. So as to why it's taken us so long, but one of the reasons, or what you can say, is that the exposure to sports for persons, for athletes with II, and the awareness that is there in India. And so many parents are not aware of the opportunities, that's one. And many of them are not aware that their son or daughter has this condition. And we are working on creating awareness on like what our athletes with II can achieve. So that is something that even the coaches have not been able to identify the potential or the ability. So therefore what happens is they are not pushing their athletes to achieve beyond a certain level. And even after Deepti's participation, it will be a challenge for us to get our athletes up to that standard, because the resources are not always available for our athletes.
Is there a difference between awareness for rural and urban areas?
Yes, definitely there is a difference between rural and urban areas. In rural areas, they do not give much thought to the behavioral issues of individuals. And it's mostly overlooked. And maybe they grow up, so it is not even identified in the rural areas. So, but in the urban areas, definitely it is identified more than the rural areas because of the exposure in the schools and even the facilities that are available in the hospitals. So there is more resources available in urban areas where parents are able to identify, okay, if this is an issue, okay, let's go see what the doctor has to say.
India isn't the only country that never sent an athlete with an intellectual impairment to the Paralympics. Far from it. In fact, before Paris, of the countries that are members of the International Paralympic Committee, more than 70% had never sent an athlete with an intellectual impairment. One country that has been improving their inclusion is Brazil. So I'm interested in speaking to an athlete from there. Gabriel Bandeira is a swimmer, like I was. So he's in the S14 class for swimmers with an intellectual impairment. He went to the Paralympics for the first time in Tokyo 3 years ago. He won gold in the 100 metres butterfly and three other medals. Not bad. I meet Gabriel on a video call with some translation help.
I'm Eloisa Velisic. I work for the Brazilian Federation for Athletes with Intellectual Impairment, and I'm here as Gabriel's translator.
Brilliant. Well, nice to meet you.
Eu sou Gabriel Bandeira.
He says, hi, I'm Gabriel Bandeira. I'm from Brazil, and I swim in the Paralympic team.
Oh, brilliant. Nice to meet you, a fellow swimmer, as I was once one. When did you first get involved with the Paralympic team?
Na minha cidade, tinha...
Gabriel says, back in my home city, when I was already training and practicing swimming, the Paralympic team would train at the same time as me. So I had the experience to train with them. And after a while, their coach asked me to join their S14 team, but I said no.
Why did you say no at first?
Gabriel says, I think I was afraid of changes, and at the time, I didn't believe I was part of the Paralympic team. I didn't accept the impairment.
What made you change your mind, Gabrielle, to then getting tested for to be an athlete with an intellectual impairment?
No meu aniversário de 2019.
Gabrielle says, back in 2019, on my birthday, one of the coaches in my city, he called me and talked to me. I was almost stopping swimming. I wasn't very excited about swimming. And then when he called, I thought, I have nothing to lose, so why not? And here I am today.
Now you've been tested for an intellectual impairment. Do you see your childhood differently?
Total, porque eu tinha um pouco de dificuldade.
Gabriel says, totally. I always had a lot of difficulties on making friends. I had poor grades. It was difficult for me to stay inside of the classroom, standing still, watching the class, and also learning new subjects, different topics.
What is it like training with the Paralympic coaches compared to your coaches before?
Eu acho que a atenção que o treinador...
Gabriel says, I think the biggest difference is the attention that the coaches give to the athletes. For example, when I was in the Olympic team, I felt I was just another one, like a robot for results or a results robot. Now in the Paralympic team with the Paralympic coaches, I feel the treatment is more human. The coaches, they care about how we feel and they try to really connect with us.
What difference does it make to others with an intellectual impairment to see someone like yourself succeed on the world stage?
Eu acho que o que eu mais fico feliz assim...
Gabriel says, I am really happy to see that other people, especially people with intellectual impairment, they get inspired. So when I arrived from Tokyo, I got a look from these people that it is possible, that if I can do it, they can do it too. It was a look of hope in their eyes, because generally people in the world, they question a lot our impairment because it's invisible. So it brings a hope, especially for Brazil, that Brazil can succeed in sports too.
Yeah, very well said that, Gabriel. How do you feel about the upcoming Paralympics in Paris?
Gabriel says, I feel pressured for Paris because in Tokyo it was the beginning of my career. So now I have a title to keep. So this makes me anxious, but I'm also really excited to go.
Brilliant. Well, I'll be at the Paralympics wishing you all the best and watching. So I hope you do well and thank you very much.
Eu que agradeço o convite.
Gabriel says, it's my pleasure and I hope to see you all cheering in Paris.
After speaking to Gabriel, my producer Simon and I have a quick chat about the interview.
What did you think of his experience?
Yeah, I think it speaks volumes around the experience that happens a lot around the world about not wanting to be classified or not wanting to be made out to be different.
How old were you when you knew that you had an intellectual impairment?
I'm not too sure. I know when the penny first dropped, a bit like Gabrielle, I think I always knew I was a bit different. And I was at primary school when I was diagnosed, doing separate work to the rest of the class. So I knew at a very, very young age, really.
Having had that experience, can you imagine what it would be like to be in Gabrielle's shoes and to not find out until you were 19 that you had this disability?
I can't imagine what that would be like. So for him to be actually so good within the pool is a real credit to himself. I can't imagine what it'd be like going all the way up to 19, just feeling odd and feeling different and struggling but not being able to express or have a reason why you're struggling. I want to find out more about the approach that Basile has taken.
Eu sou Humberto Ferreira.
Humberto says, I'm Humberto Ferreira. I'm the director of CBDI, the Brazilian Federation for Athletes with Intellectual Impairment. I'm also part of Virtus Sport International. I'm the president of the America region for Virtus Sports. And I'm also a professor at 2 different universities.
Just a reminder that Virtus is the International Organization for Intellectual Impairment Sport.
How many athletes with an intellectual impairment from Brazil will be going to Paris Paralympics?
Vai com 15 atletas.
Humberto says we're going to take 15 athletes to Paris.
What has been your strategy for getting as many people as possible with an intellectual impairment to the Paralympics?
A primeira estratégia foi...
Humberto says the first part of the strategy was offering training for the coaches and the psychologists in Brazil, so they could be able to include athletes with intellectual impairment in their groups. So this was our first great mission. And the second was we started to work for the Scholar Paralympics, some competition for students that happens in Brazil. And this project of taking 15 athletes to Paris began in London, then Rio, then Tokyo, and now Paris. For example, in London, we took only 2 athletes, and now we have 15 athletes. So this is reason for us to be really happy for everything that is going on. And all the athletes we are taking to Paris now are in the top 10 athletes in the world.
Brilliant. It sounds like you've been doing some really good work since London 2012 Paralympics. Why do you think Brazil has a better inclusion than a country like India, which is sending its first ever athlete with an intellectual impairment to the Paralympics this year?
Eu não diria que a gente tem uma melhor estratégia.
Humberto says, I'm not sure if we have a better strategy, but sports in Brazil is something very cultural for our people. The sport culture here in Brazil starts at school when they're kids and goes all the way through until they get to high-level athletes. We've always participated in the Virtus competition for athletes with intellectual impairment, and this really helped the movement to grow in Brazil. And we also have many public policies here that help us to get into this position. And I'm not sure if India, for example, have this type of public policies too. For example, here in Brazil, there are laws that support the sponsorship or even scholarships for the athletes before the Paralympic Games, so they can have a financial support, so they can keep their minds on training and work on their skills.
You also work with the Intellectual Impairment Sport Organization across North and South America. Why do some countries have better inclusion than others?
São muito diferentes as realidades.
Humberto says, these countries, they have really different realities. For example, Canada and the USA, they are culturally different from the poor countries, the countries that are in development yet. They need to improve their quality of life so they can have a better development, like a human development. In Brazil, we have to deal with a giant difference in social aspects and economy aspects, but still our athletes are very successful right now. So I believe inclusion is not all about action, but it's also about desire. We need to desire the inclusion of the athletes.
Another barrier for athletes with an intellectual impairment is the sports that are available to them at the Paralympics. At the moment, it's just three: athletics, swimming and table tennis. There used to be more medals up for grabs, but then there was a big cheating scandal at Sydney 2000 and athletes like me were banned from the Paralympics for 9 years. We were allowed back in at London 2012, where I took part, but sadly, I was past the prime of my swimming career. It's a pretty shocking story. You can hear all about it in another podcast I presented called The Fake Paralympians. I want to know what the people in charge are doing about improving inclusion for athletes with an intellectual impairment.
My name's Robin Smith, and I am the CEO of Sport Inclusion Australia. I have a place on the governing board of Virtus. I have a place on the International Paralympic Committee Governing Board, which gives me a place on Brisbane 2032 Organising Committee.
Fewer than a quarter of the countries at the Paralympics bring an athlete with an intellectual impairment. Why do you think that is?
I think it's got to do with not really knowing about the pathway. Since 2012, it is the eligibility and the classification takes a little bit of time. So I think the countries, it's more about not knowing rather than lack of willingness.
What work are you personally involved in to try and get more people with an intellectual impairment like me at the Paralympics?
Oh, I think it's been my life's work. I've been doing this role for 33 years in Australia and obviously internationally for about 13 years now. It's about building capacity of countries to do the eligibility testing. It's about talking about how we do it in Australia, share that with some of the countries. It's finding out what's happening in other countries and sharing that.
What are some of the other challenges?
I think some of the other challenges is that people with an intellectual impairment, athletes, they don't always know how to use their voice, how to make things happen for them. So it's really important that there's advocates out there to help them raise the profile, raise the awareness, a little bit of an unseen disability, if you like. And so I think that creates a barrier. So it's helping parents understand that it's a really positive thing to do, raising the profile for athletes so they're inspired to get involved, and then making the world more inclusive.
Are there parts of the world where there is a particular challenge in including athletes with an intellectual impairment?
I think so. Like, there are some countries we're found in developing countries where culturally, if one of the children in the family has a disability, it can be a shame on the family. So we're really trying hard to show how sport can change lives, how it can raise self-esteem, bring a lot of positivity to the family and include people.
Before the Paralympics in Tokyo, I asked somebody from the International Paralympic Committee why there are not more medals available for people with an intellectual impairment. He said they're working on it. What's changed since then?
I'm very proud to say that my colleagues on the International Paralympic Committee Governing Board have all intimated great interest to improve opportunities. We've had some really positive discussions about not only more events within athletic swimming and table tennis, but also potential of some new sporting opportunities.
Could you put a possible date on when that might be?
Look, I'm hopeful that in LA 28, there'll be some good news. And obviously we're working hard, Virtus is working hard, and we need to do some homework as well to ensure that there's definitely something happening by 2032. And the Winter Games is on our radar as well for 2030. So there's lots of things happening behind the scenes. So I can't give any definite decisions because they won't be made in the next 12 months. But there's a lot of positive work going on and I'm optimistic.
I'm back in India with Deepti Divandi, who in Paris will become the country's first ever Paralympian with an intellectual impairment. In the past few years, she's been bringing home medals left, right and centre.
Has your success so far changed your family's life since winning international medals?
She says, once I won a medal, Asian Games medal, I received cash award. From that, I gave 10 lakhs rupees to my family. They bought a land. 10 lakhs means a million rupees.
What was the land and what are they doing with it?
She says it's a farming land. They are planning to cultivate rice. They can cultivate rice and they can eat.
You went to the World Power Athletics Championships in Japan earlier this year. What happened?
She says, I went to Japan there. In my event, I won gold medal with the record. So I feel very happy.
So you actually set a new world record?
She said yes.
How did it feel to win?
She says, after winning, everybody knows me. They knew what I am now. Everybody knows who I am.
Yes, because there's been lots of articles in the newspaper. How does it feel to be famous?
She says, before this, nobody knew. But now people are recognizing me. People see me. If I win bigger than this, people will recognize more.
So with that, how important for you was it to qualify for the Paralympics?
I'm feeling very happy, but in Kotimana.
She says, I feel happy, but I want to win a medal for the country again.
I think that's the sign of a true athlete, just focusing on the next goal, the next medal.
She says, after winning a medal, I want to take care of my family. Now my family is working hard. After winning a medal, I'll get a job somewhere and I will take care of them.
Deepti's parents say her medals are already making a difference for how people treat them.
She says, now everybody is respecting us by saying Deepti's success. They are Deepti's parents. They are Deepti's parents. And everyone is looking at us like with respect. That is the respect we got from Deepti.
How are you feeling about the Paralympics in Paris? Will you be able to go and support Deepti in person?
She says, who will give us money to travel there?
Very expensive to travel there, yeah?
Chala karchuto kodukunnadi.
Chala karchuto kodukunnadi.
It is very expensive.
How does it feel to be the parents of India's first ever Paralympian with an intellectual impairment?
She says, we are very happy. We are very lucky to have a daughter like that. She is going abroad and representing the country and winning win a medal. So for that only, today we went to temple. We prayed. We did puja to the God.
I think Deepti is an interesting example because she came up through mainstream sport and then moved over to the para side. And what should be happening is athletes should be getting spotted at grassroots level and then going through the process and nurtured and everything so they carry on into the para side. My kind of take home from this experience has been there just needs to be better infrastructure around these countries that don't have many or any athletes with an intellectual impairment. And I think Brazil's kind of really stepped it up, and they came out of London with a big strategy plan of how they wanted to do it and to keep moving forward. And then also getting more sports involved. These countries, they might not have a big infrastructure around swimming as an example, so actually having different sports where these other countries can get involved. And then from these other countries, it's about identifying athletes early.
giving them the training opportunities and everything to then go on to their classification with an intellectual impairment.
As for Deepti, I'll be watching her in Paris. Erin Benjamin, whose organisation has been helping support her, says she's an inspiration for people with an II, an intellectual impairment.
She has proven that athletes with II can achieve. They have the ability, they have the potential. So all the people who believed that it is not possible for athletes with II to go beyond a certain level in sports, she has proven them wrong. Deepti has paved the path for other athletes. She's opened doors, and we are hoping that more athletes will follow in her footsteps and make a name for themselves.
The next Paralympians was presented by me, Dan Pepper, and produced by Simon Mabin. The production coordinators were Sophie Hill and Katie Morrison. It was mixed by Rod Farker, and the editor was Claire Fordham.
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. All episodes are available now. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.